respect for the written word of God, would you all stand with me? And I'm going to read the passage that we'll be considering this morning. You read right along with me, just quietly to yourself. But let's read what the Lord has for us this morning. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. And I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Father, bless the reading of your word, the teaching of your word, the preaching of your word. May it speak to us in a very powerful way this morning. And may your word bear fruit in the lives of your people. And I ask that your word would do its work of bringing many to repentance, some perhaps even this morning to salvation. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As a Christian man, I want the very best life that God has for me. I want the very best of what the Lord has for me. I want the abundant Christian life. I want the victorious Christian life. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of God's perfect will, enjoying all that He has for me right now. Do you want that? I sure hope you do. And I believe the Bible teaches that God Himself wants that for you. He wants that for us. He wants us to live in that wonderful, victorious Christian life. But here, the very strong warning of this passage that we just read. It is possible for us to miss God's best. It is possible for us to miss out. If you have a heart of unbelief, if you depart from the living God, if you fall away from the Lord, and you fall away from His ways, you will miss out on God's best for your life. Now, we know that is possible just by the example of the nation of Israel, as we see mentioned in this text. Specifically, the first generation of Israel that came out of Egypt. That first generation that was in the Exodus. What a tragic story for that first generation. Remember and consider with me what that first generation saw. And what they heard. That group of people, that first generation, literally saw the living God fighting for them. Redeeming them out of slavery. in Egypt. They saw the power of God at work. They saw those 10 plagues that were poured out upon the Egyptians. Imagine that. Think about seeing that. There you are next to the Nile River, which is the source of life for the land. Moses stretches out his rod over and it turns to blood. And there you are. You see it. And then a few days later, you see thousands and thousands and thousands of frogs descend upon the land of the Egyptians. Frogs everywhere. You remember how the text goes. There were frogs in their beds. There were frogs in their ovens. Frogs in their coffee stores. Coffee shops, if they had them. I don't know if they did. Frogs everywhere. All over the land of Egypt. And that generation saw it and heard all the ribbits. And then also they saw with their own eyes how the Egyptians got infested with lice, flies, how all the Egyptian livestock died due to disease and pestilence. They saw all the Egyptians get boils all over their body. They saw the Egyptians pummeled with hailstones the size of bowling balls. They saw the locusts come in. They saw this darkness descend upon the land of Egypt that was so dark and heavy you could feel it. And that generation saw the death angel go in and kill the firstborn male sons of all of the Egyptians while their firstborn male sons were safe, because they were in a house that was covered by the blood of a lamb that had been slain. They saw that. And then as you remember the story, they get backed up against the Red Sea. Imagine this. Imagine this. You're looking at a sea. A wind starts to blow and it parts. It opens up for you. And you walk through on dry land. And you get to the other side. And the Egyptians who are pursued, the water comes back down upon them and drowns all of them. You know how some Christians say if they could see a miracle of the Lord, it would really help from time to time. You know, if I saw that, that would keep me going for a long time. That generation saw it. They walked through a sea. And then God shows up to the nation of Israel. They can see God at any time, His very presence. He showed up in the form of a cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. Imagine wondering, I wonder if there's a God and all you have to do is walk out of your tent and find the cloud. Or find the pillar of fire by night. Think of it! And then we know the Shekinah glory of God descended upon Mount Sinai, shook the mountain. They saw that. And we also know they heard the audible voice of God giving the Ten Commandments. Not only did they see God, they heard God. And then God took care of them by giving them water to drink, making sure 2.5 million people had water in wilderness. And how God fed them daily with the manna. And how God gave that generation such a wonderful godly leader in Moses. Think of what they had. Think of how they started. Think of all that they saw and heard. But I want you to know that first generation missed God's best for their life. They blew it. The author of Hebrews is quoting from Psalm 95, which I read this morning when we opened up our service. And in this psalm, it speaks of the failure that that first generation went through. In verse 8, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. You know the story. That generation that saw all that rebelled against the Lord. They let their hearts get hard against the Lord. They tested the Lord. You see their failure throughout the Old Testament. Moses is at the top of Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments. The people are at the bottom of that mountain in a drunken party dancing around a golden calf. We know that they complained all the time when they were in the wilderness. They got thirsty and they said, Moses, why did you take us out here in the middle of the wilderness to die? We need to go back to Egypt. 10 times they made a complaint like that, and God gave them water. Then they said, we're hungry. God gave them manna. They got tired of manna. They said, we're so tired of manna. All the time we have manna. Remember back to the Egyptian days. All those Egyptians could cook. All the gourmet food that they had. And all we get is manna cotti every morning. We're tired of fixing manna. And they just complained and murmured, and it's absolutely takes your breath away considering what they saw and what they heard. They made their biggest mistake at a place called Kadesh Barnea. You remember the story. They were all at this place called Kadesh Barnea. It was right at the outskirts of the Promised Land. God wanted to bring that nation into the land. And there they are getting ready to go into the land. The Lord says, you can take it. I'm giving you the land. They sent 12 spies into the land. You remember the story? And they went and spied out. And all of the 12 spies came back and they all had this wonderful story. The land truly is good. It's flowing with milk and honey. There's grapes, and they even brought these grapes back. Grapes the size of bowling balls. And all of the 12 spies agreed, oh, that land is awesome. God has this great land is so awesome. There's going to be so much blessing. But 10 of the spies say, too bad we can't go. They saw giants in the land. You remember the story? And those 10 spies said, big, mean, nasty. There's no way we can go into that land. There's no way we can take it. And they convinced the rest of the congregation that it was not possible. Despite Moses, Joshua, and Caleb saying, oh, we can go in. We can take them. But they convinced the generation that they couldn't. And they refused to go in. And they actually talked about going back to Egypt. Folks, that is a sin of unbelief. God had promised them and told them that they would take the land. They didn't believe God. And that was an act of disobedience. God told them to go into the land. Their refusing not to go into the land is disobedience. Now, I can understand that they were scared. Listen very carefully. Being scared is not an excuse to disobey the Lord. I don't care what the Lord calls you to do. I don't care how scary it might look. You are to obey Him. That generation said, we're not going to go in. They didn't. And so look what the Lord said of them in verse 10. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You won't go in then. You don't want the promised land? Hey, I won't force it upon you. You won't go in. And you want to go back to Egypt? I won't let that happen either. You're going to go and wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until the first generation died out. Your sons, your daughters, the second generation, they'll get the promised land. But that first generation will die in the wilderness. And you know the story. That is exactly what happened. That first generation would do laps in the wilderness, in the desert, for 40 years until every male at the age of 20 and over had died. And that probably would have averaged 90 deaths a day. Incredible. That an entire generation, people that belonged to the Lord, would miss out on what God had for them. The questions in your mind, it just, you scratch your head. In verse 16, it says, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Those people? Not with whom Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. I want you to understand something about that first generation. They went in the wilderness and they wandered around for 40 years. But I want you to know that they never stopped belonging to God. They belonged to the Lord. And we know that the Lord's presence was with them. Moses was still with them. And God took care of them in the wilderness for 40 years. He fed them. He gave them all the water that they would need to drink. We're also told that all of their clothes miraculously stayed fit. They didn't have to replace any of their clothes. And all of the sandals that they wore, they never had to replace. They never had to shop for shoes once. Imagine that, ladies, for 40 years. God took care of that generation miraculously for 40 years. It's not that they lost the Lord and that they lost His presence, but they did lose God's best for them. 40 years wandering around in a desert wilderness, doing laps, kicking dust, eating sand. God wanted them to be in the promised land. The place of milk and honey and grapes and the goodness of God. The joy of the Lord. His victory. They missed out on God's best, and I want you to understand that that can happen to us as Christians. That exact same thing can happen to you and I. Brother and sister in Christ, you may have had a dramatic, awesome Exodus experience from the world, where you became glorious, gloriously born again, converted. The Lord Jesus came into your life and changed your life, and you became a new creation in Christ. And His hand has been upon your life. You've seen His power. You've heard His voice, not from the top of a mountain, but in His Word. And you've seen the Lord, not pillar of fire by night, but you've seen the Lord's hand in your life. And you've tasted of that, and you've had those wonderful experiences. But you, even me, all of us, we can miss God's best even having experienced that. We can wander around in the wilderness, we can miss the promised land. The promised land is not a picture of heaven. I know a lot of the hymns sing of the promised land as heaven, but it's not a picture of heaven. In the promised land, there were lots of giants and there were lots of wars and battles that took place. In heaven, there won't be battles. There won't be any more wars. And if they're giants, they'll be gentle. The promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life, the abundant Christian life. It's the picture of a Christian who's enjoying their rich spiritual inheritance in Christ Jesus. Of somebody who is enjoying the blessings of God in their life. That's what we want. That's where we want to live. We don't want to miss out on that. Amen? I think this passage gives us some precautions that we can take every day. Some safeguards. Some mindsets that you and I can cultivate daily to keep us living in the promised land. And I want you to look at that this morning. And I do emphasize the word daily. Daily provision. Daily safeguards. You notice that the whole feel of this passage is one of urgency, isn't it? It's a tone of urgency. Three times it says today, verse 7, today, if you will hear His voice. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Verse 15, today, if you will hear His voice. The idea is there's things that we need to do as Christians right now, today.
It's urgent. It's not like, well, I'll wait till next week, or I'll wait till I graduate from school, or till I get married, or tomorrow. No, the idea is right now, today, we need to make safeguards in our lives as Christians to ensure that we're going to live the promised life, the promised land living. And it's a daily thing. It's a consistent thing. Today we do it. When tomorrow becomes today, we do it. When a week from today becomes today, we do it. When a year from today becomes today, whenever it's called today, do it. What precautions, what safeguards pop out at us? Number one, my brother and sister in Christ, we need to hear the voice of the Lord every day. We need to hear the voice of the Lord every day. Look what it says in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear my voice. The idea here is that the Lord is always speaking to His people. He's always speaking to His people. Always. We as His people need to hear His voice. We need to discipline ourselves to hear from Him. How do you and I hear the voice of the Lord today? Well, we can hear the voice of the Lord in doing exactly what we're doing right now. We are gathered as the people of God. We have our Bibles open. We've gathered for worship. We can hear the voice of the Lord when we gather together on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, whenever we gather with our Bibles open. In fact, I have had the Lord speak to me so clearly over the years when I've been in a public worship service, when I've gone to church. There's been times where the Lord spoke to me, He knocked me out of the pew, the chair, where it just so humbled me and I heard His voice. We can do that. You know, this last week I was at the Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference in California. And what a blessing that is for me to be there every year. That's when I get to go and get preached at. And I love that. And some of the guys were used so powerfully by the Lord to speak to me. And I heard the voice of the Lord give me direction on what to do with our fellowship and how to keep going forward. And the importance of what's happening here in our community. You hear from the Lord in that respect. Don't miss out on church. Don't miss out on Bible study. This is actually a psalm, Psalm 95, that he's quoting. And it's actually one of the most well-known songs of the Jewish people in that day. Everyone knew Psalm 95 because every week when they opened the synagogue service for the Jewish people, they would say that word, that phrase, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It was sort of like a call to worship. That's pretty neat. Every time they gathered, someone would stand up. Before we begin, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden His hearts. That's what we need to do every time we go to church, to see that as the Lord speaking to us. But it says we need to hear His voice daily. We need to read His Word daily and hear His voice in His Scripture daily. I would also say to all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as born-again Christians, we need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord throughout our day. The voice of the Holy Spirit throughout your day. You know, as born-again Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, don't we? And He's there to guide us, to comfort us, to speak to us. And I believe He's speaking to us all day long. If we just be sensitive to His voice, to hear His words, to know His presence, to practice an awareness of God's Spirit in you and with you wherever you go.
There are so many voices out there that we hear. If you're at school, you'll hear a lot of voices. People telling you to cheat on tests. Or to go out and party. Or to go do this and that. And there are many voices in the world that will tell you how to be successful. Worldly sorts of things. If you're a Christian, listen for the voice that comes from heaven. Walk with the Holy Spirit. He's always whispering. And let me tell you, if you want to stay on track in the Christian life, wake up every morning and say to yourself, I'm going to hear the voice of the Lord today. I'm going to listen for Him. I'm going to spend my time reading the Word, not just to check it off my list of things to do, but I want to hear the voice of the living God. That's one precaution you can take. I think another safeguard, another mindset that we need to cultivate in our lives is this. We need to guard our hearts. We need to protect our hearts. We need to keep our hearts soft towards the Lord. Again, in verse 7, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Every day we need to be mindful of that while it's called today. Have a heart check every single day. Where you're not going to allow your heart to become hardened towards God. But you're going to keep your heart soft towards the living God. That heart is the most important part of you. It's what makes you tick. It's who you are in the deepest, most innermost part of your being. It's who you really are. And in that area, my brother and sister in Christ, always stay soft before your Maker. Soft before Him. What does it mean to have a soft heart? Well, I think a couple things. First, I think it means to always make sure that you have a very flexible, teachable, moldable heart, like clay. And that you never get to a point where you think you know it all. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is where it speaks about how He's the potter, the Lord's the potter, and we're the clay. And how our God just takes great pleasure and glory in taking our lives and molding us into what He wants us to be. And how important it is for us to be soft and pliable in His hands. I think to have a soft heart towards the Lord also means to have a tender heart towards Him. To be affectionate towards Him. To be warm towards Him. To love Him. To fall in love with Him. Every day. Keep that. That's something you can work on. That's something that you can do. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. That means you got to work at it. And you got to do it diligently. For out of it spring the issues of life every single day. Let's have a heart check. Let's wake up and let's say, Lord, how's my heart today? Don't let me harden my heart towards You today. Keep my heart soft. What hardens our hearts? What can we allow to harden our hearts? Look down there at verse 13. It says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. Sin will harden your heart. Christian, if you get into a life of willful sin against the Lord and you begin to rebel against the Lord, you need to understand that that is going to harden your heart towards God. And it won't lead to anything good.
And if you think you can play around with sin, man, you are deceived. The deceitfulness of sin hardens a heart. It's amazing how sin can absolutely destroy relationships. And how sin can make people so hard towards other people. I've seen it before in marriages. Where the husband decides, you know, I want to go out and party with the boys. Leave the missus at home. I'm going to go out and hang out with my buddies and do the happy hour thing and do the party thing and just hang out with my friends. And you know, man, if that's what you're like, you need to grow up. Get out of high school. Grow up. And I have seen people, men, do that. And you know what happens? Here's what happens to a guy that goes through that. They start to get real hard in their hearts towards their wife. She becomes a pain. She becomes something that he doesn't like, that annoys him. Oh, she's in the way. And that sin in their heart makes a person so hard towards other people. It'll do the same thing with you and the Lord, my brother and sister in Christ. Don't let it. I think bitterness towards the Lord gives us a hardened heart. You know, when life throws us a curveball, life ever throw you a curveball? When you have some things happen in your life that you don't expect, or when you have some sort of tragedy take place in your life, things don't go exactly how you want it, some expectation isn't met, and you get mad at God, and you start to get hard towards Him, your heart hardens. And you become bitter. I've seen Christians fall into that trap. Hey, I got news for you. Life throws everybody curveballs. Everyone. Every single person you know has problems. Every single person you know will run into struggles. Every Christian brother and sister in Christ that you have has the exact same struggles that you have had. And will go through the same issues and the same trials and the same tribulations. But we need to understand that that does not give us an excuse to harden our heart towards our Lord. He's the potter. He's the potter. We're the clay. And He takes everything in our life and He molds it into us. And He's shaping us into what He wants us to be for His glory. Trust Him. Don't get hardened towards Him. Every morning, wake up. Have that heart check. I see a third mindset that we need to have from this passage. Brother and sister in Christ, listen to me. We need to have an optimistic faith, trust, and belief in God every day. Every single day. You and I need to choose, make a conscious choice to believe God and to believe what He has said. Amen? Look what it says down there in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Do not let unbelief creep into your heart. Do not let a lack of faith in God creep into your heart, or a lack of trust in the Lord creep into your heart. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. And the Scripture tells us very plainly, we're to live by faith. Not by sight. And we are to wake up and we are to believe God. We are to believe His promises and we are not to waver. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You will be a man of faith, a woman of faith. Trusting in the promises of God. Believing in the Lord. It's the unbelief that creates such problems in many people's life. It's the unbelief that caused that first generation not to go into the promised land. Isn't that correct?
Go into the land. I'm giving it to you. I promise.
Don't want to go. Can't do it. Don't believe you, God. And they missed out.
Now, if you have faith in the Lord and belief in the Lord, I can't guarantee you that everything's going to work out just like you think it should. I can't make you that promise. But I can make you this promise: if you don't have faith in the Lord, if you don't step out in faith, God won't bless. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I can think of the time when Jesus was ministering in Nazareth. Remember his hometown? He ministered there very early on, and he wasn't received in his own town. And it says specifically in Matthew chapter 13, when he was there, he did not do many works there because of their unbelief. But if you wake up and you're an optimist, and every Christian needs to be an optimist, amen? And you put your faith in your Lord and in His promises, and you stand upon them, and you make that choice to do so, God will take you into promised land country. He will walk you into victory. You can count on it. It's true. Another mindset I see that I'd like you to consider. Very simple. Simply draw close to your Lord and stay close to Him. Draw close to your Lord and stay close to Him, my brother and sister in Christ. Again, in verse 12, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Don't ever depart from the living God. Don't ever fall away from the living God. Don't ever turn from Him. Don't ever say, I'm going to try something else for a while. That's exactly what this church was doing that the writer of this letter wrote to them. They were going to go back into Judaism. They were going to go back into the old way of life under Moses. They were sort of going to walk away from Jesus. And he says, don't do that. Do not depart from the living God. Don't depart from the living God. Where would you go? Come on. Now that you've tasted of the Lord and you've seen how good He is. The positive way to say this is, draw close to the living God every day. Stay close to Him. Have that mindset every day while it's called today. I will draw close to the Lord. I think a way that we do that in a very practical way is through prayer. You know, we read our Bibles in the morning to hear His voice. And in staying close to the Lord, there's just something about having that prayer time with the Lord. You're communicating with your God. You're fellowshipping with the Lord. You're drawing into His presence. And the New Testament tells us very plainly that we're to pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. And you say, well, Terry, how am I going to drive? You don't have to pray just by closing your eyes and bowing your head. An effective prayer doesn't just take place in church. We are to have an ongoing conversation with the Lord throughout our days. Amen? Communicating to Him daily, all day. He's on your mind. You're talking with Him. You're walking with Him. That's drawing close. That's staying close. When I read the Gospels, sometimes I get jealous of the disciples. what a blessing they had. Imagine being given 3.5 years to walk with Jesus. Isn't that neat? I mean, to literally walk with the Son of God. To eat with Jesus. To hang out with Him daily. You walk through life for 3.5 years. Those disciples did exactly that. They were so close to Jesus. And I thought, man, I wish I could be as close to Jesus like that right now, just like those disciples. I want you to hear something that Jesus said to those disciples that you need to take to heart. In John chapter 14, Jesus said to them, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus promised the disciples another helper. And it's very important, that word, another helper in the Greek. There's two Greek words for another, allos and heteros. Heteros means another of a different kind. Allos means another of the same kind. And that's the word that Jesus used. If you had a Rolex watch and you decided to give it to a friend, let them borrow it, and they lost it, you'd be bummed with them, right? And they said, that's all right, I'm going to get you another one. And so they come back the next day, and here's a brand new Timex watch.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
That's heteros. Another of a different kind. Now, if they come back with a brand new Rolex, they look just like yours, the exact same style, everything just as it was, you'd use the word allos, another of the same kind. When Jesus said He would send us a helper, another helper, allos, the Holy Spirit is to you and I right now exactly how Jesus Christ was with those disciples when they walked on the road. He walks with you. Think about that. You can't really walk with Jesus every day. You can draw close to Him. Don't depart from Him. A couple other things. Very practical thing that we can do every day. It says in verse 13. Exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What a beautiful verse that tells us the importance of fellowship among Christians in the corporate body of Christ. We are to encourage one another daily. Brother and sister in Christ, there's to be someone in your life that you're encouraging daily. There's to be someone in your life that is encouraging you daily. And again, we can do things like that at church, can't we? We should enjoy our company and enjoy fellowship with one another and encourage one another whenever we gather on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights or whenever we gather formally as a church. But understand, again, it says do this daily. Christian husband, daily encourage your wife. Christian wife, daily encourage your husband. Daily encourage your kids. Have that very important, precious friendship, Christian relationship in your life that you can really share things with. So many of us as Christians, we get so isolated and we don't share our lives with anybody. I believe every single one of us needs to have a person in our life. You know, a person in your life who you can just call up and say, pray for me, and you don't even have to give them any details. They know. They know your struggles. They know your pains. They know the circumstances that you're going through right now. They know the problems that you face. And you have a relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, just like that, where you can just share that with one another and daily encourage one another. We need that. There have been so many times in my life where I was encouraged at just the right moment. Oh, where you just want to give up. You're tired. And somebody comes along and they say that word that's just like adding water to clay that's become a little bit hard. It just waters it up and softens it back up. And how wonderful it is to be encouraged, and how much of a blessing you will be if you find someone in your life that you can encourage daily. If you don't have a person like that, pray for one and find one. And open up your heart. Very quickly, it says in verse 14, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Stay confident in the Lord. Stay confident. And it literally means have the same confidence that you had in the Lord when you first became a Christian. Remember those days? Isn't it a blast to be around brand new born-again Christians? You know how they're so confident in the Lord. I mean, they just, it's like, and you think to yourself, wow, check out all that confidence in that person. And they're always thinking about the Lord. And they're always thinking, they're putting God into every moment of their day, into every thought. And they have that confidence. I love that. Don't grow up out of that. As Christians, sometimes we grow up and we grow older and we become more, you know, doubtful. Thoughtful. Philosophical. Stay a kid. Have a childlike faith in Jesus Christ. Wake up every morning and say, Lord, I renew my confidence in you. What God has for us is too good to miss. And He has some great stuff for you and I. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to slip away, do we? Consider these things. Make these things a part of your life daily. Hear His voice every day. Have a heart check every single day. Renew your faith in Him. Say, Lord, I stand on Your promises and I live my life trusting in Your Word. Draw close to Him every day. Find someone to encourage every day, and find someone to encourage you every day. Renew your confidence in the Lord every day. Let me tell you, if we keep that, if we have that mindset, if we do these things, promised land living guaranteed. The joy of the Lord. The peace of God. There might be some Christians here this morning. You've had the Exodus experience. You've been born again. You've tasted. You know the power of the Lord. But you know right now that you're not living the life that God wants you to live. You're squandering away your life. You're walking around in the wilderness. And God has so much more for you. Perhaps you have just become way too cynical. Perhaps you have actually departed from the Lord, fallen away from Him. You're involved in other things now.
Or perhaps you've let sin come into your life and harden your heart. And it's taken effect on your life. On many things about your life. I got great news for you. You can come back to the Lord right now. And you can begin to live that life like you know you should and take those daily precautions like we've discussed. You can come back to Him. He'll take your life. He'll restore you. He'll set you in the promised land. He'll begin to use you again, and He can heal so many things that you've broken. Start today. Maybe there's someone here this morning and they've never had the Exodus experience. You've never had the born again conversion. A moment in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He died on the cross for your sins. And He died specifically for you. You need to take that personally. And as a sinner, all you need to do is invite Him to be your Savior, admit that you have been a sinner, and invite the Savior who died on the cross for your sins into your heart. And you'll be forgiven. You will have a born-again experience. And you will begin to see the hand of God upon your life. And it would then be my prayer that you would walk in the abundant life that He has for you for the rest of your life. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And Paul says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, right now, today, is the day of salvation. Lord, we acknowledge this morning that every day you give us is a gift. It truly is a gift. And you are always urgent in your word about doing things today, not to wait. And so I ask, Lord, that right now, this day, today, would become a very important day in the lives of your people, especially those who have turned away from you, who have gotten off track. I'm going to ask that if you're one who belongs to the Lord and you just need to get things back on track with your Lord, with your Maker, and you want prayer for that, I'm going to ask that you would raise up your hand right now. God bless you and you, many of you, all over. You need prayer. You need love. You need some encouragement. And I'm going to ask Steve and the elders and Kelly to come up here in the front. Would you guys come up here in the front? And as we sing this last song, let's have a quiet song, AJ, as we sing. I'm going to ask that you make today a very important moment. And that today you publicly come up for prayer. Come up for some love. Come up for some encouragement. And would the rest of you be praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ and quietly worshiping the Lord in song? Come on up. Receive prayer.
My beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I'll sing again. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You are my strong melody, and you are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect rhyme, and I will sing of you forever.
I believe there might be someone here this morning who's never given their heart to Jesus Christ. And you've heard the gospel message and you know it's plain and clear. The scripture says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Every day you say no to the Lord, your heart gets harder. A layer of callousness will fall about your life, and you'll get harder and harder to the Lord. Until the Bible says one day you'll pass a point of no return. While you can still hear the voice of the Lord, He's always speaking. You can hear Him. Make a commitment to Christ. We're going to sing this song just a couple more times. And if you need to come forward and receive Christ, give your heart to Him, have an Exodus experience, then you have a moment right now to make that public while it's called today.